Chapter 10.
I'm afraid I cannot accept another quest immediately, I quickly explained. It's the middle of the night, and I do still have other, obligations.
Yes, I'm sure the settlement of Brooklyn has much need of you also.
The Baron sniffed haughtily.
But I'll be paying you handsomely for your help.
Your generosity precedes you, sire. I bent my back in a grateful half-bow, like I'd seen the messenger perform. If you'd be so kind as to permit me a day to prepare, I'll be glad to take up your mission. From my experience at the tavern, I guessed gold was hard to get for common folk of this world, so I wanted to get as much as possible out of the Baron.
One day, Sir Miller,
the Baron allowed with another comical sniff through his large crooked nose.
You ought to find my quartermaster now, though. He has some supplies and information for you.
Great, I nodded sincerely. I shall then retire to my cabin to prepare and set off on my quest once I've done so. Thank you again for your generosity. I bowed again as the Baron waved his hand with another unnecessary flourish by way of a dismissal, and I hurriedly backed out of the throne room.
So, now you've been prophesied?
Amber asked with a chuckle once I'd made it back out of the Baron's throne room.
See, I knew you were special right from the beginning.
That's a damn lie. You had to talk me step by step through killing that river troll. I reminded her with a laugh of my own as I retraced the messenger's route back up into the hills above Haddon.
You did great, Master,
Amber said. I mean, in my defense, I'd hopped from one world to the other and found myself somewhere that fucking trolls and magic existed. I replied with a pout. Anyone I know would have gone into shock.
Lucky you had me to calm you down then, isn't it?
Amber said, and I could hear the smug smile that saturated her sweet voice. Sure, I chuckled. Do you have any idea where we might find the quartermaster?
No clue,
Amber sighed.
I've never even set foot in a castle, at least in this form, and this doesn't count. I'm in your head.
One day you will, I promised her.
I know,
Amber said.
I know you'll keep your promise to me.
I'm hoping that by doing all these missions and getting all this gold, I can pawn most of it off back home. But I'll do whatever I can in this world to end your curse, okay?
I know. I trust you,
Amber replied softly.
Thank you, James.
That's Sir Miller, I corrected her, and I smiled when I heard her laugh inside my mind. By the time I'd walked a ways down the main corridor of the castle, I thankfully bumped into a night guard before I'd gotten to the massive front doors, and I inquired with him where I might find the quartermaster. The guard explained how the quartermaster resided on the lower floors of the estate due to its naturally cool temperature, which aided him in his many experiments. And I walked down the stone staircase that was awfully reminiscent of the stairs leading down to the dungeon below my cabin in the forest.
Hello?
I called out as I reached the bottom of the staircase and found myself face to face with a heavy wooden door bolted shut by iron hinges.
Is anyone here?
Who goes there?
A strained voice asked from behind the door.
My name is Sir James Miller, I offered.
The Baron sent me to see you. He said you had some information on a quest he'd given me.
Ah, yes, the famous Sir Miller.
The quartermaster rustled around outside the door and eventually heaved the thing open. The man was incredibly short and incredibly thin, with dirty robes that hung off his skeletal frame and made him look like an old 80s Halloween decoration. A crazy tuft of blonde gray hair sat perfectly upright on his wrinkled little head like a troll doll, and his beady eyes were almost completely covered by folds of leathery skin. I could see there was a tooth missing in the uncomfortably wide smile the old quartermaster gave me, and his nose also had little sprouts of wiry gray hair that poked out of his nostrils.
Hello, quartermaster,
I said politely with a nod. I believe you were expecting me?
Yes, yes, come in, come in.
The quartermaster ushered me through the heavy wooden doorframe and shoved it shut behind me with a resounding crash.
And please, call me Harold. Would you like some tea? I was just brewing a pot.
Harold the quartermaster motioned to an insane contraption that looked like a glass model of a haphazardly put-together Meccano science set, and he puttered over to where there was a low shelf of basic clay mugs. The quartermaster's cellar was like Dr. Frankenstein's lab, so I got the feeling he wasn't a regular quartermaster by Earth definitions. Almost every surface in the place was covered in some form of dusty glass receptacle, and each jar, tube, or bulbous beaker was filled with disconcertingly dark liquids of varying different colors. The back wall was curved into a semicircle and held shelves upon shelves of pickled organs and boxes of ingredients, and in the center of the room was a laboratory table covered with an old stained sheet of material. The figure beneath the sheet looked dangerously similar to a human on a mortuary table, and I decided it was best to not even ask. "No, thank you," I said hastily with a forced smile when I realized the old man was still waiting for an answer on his offer. "No tea for me."
"Very well."
The old man shrugged as he poured himself a serving from the rusted metal tap at the bottom of the complicated mess of tubes, and then he turned to me with a heavy sigh.
"So, the Baron said you were going after vampires."
"Excuse me?" I laughed, and the sound faltered in my throat when I saw the quartermaster fix me with an unwavering stare. "Oh, you're serious?"
"As the dead," Harold sniffed. "There have long been tales of the vampires in the hills, in an enchanted castle that cannot be seen by the human eye, guarding a great book of value. The Baron has wanted that book for years."
"What's the book?"
Amber whispered curiously in my head. "What's the book?" I repeated her question out loud.
"I'm not sure,"
the quartermaster sighed.
"But the Baron's soothsayer has wanted it for years, and apparently you're the newest recruit ordered to go and fetch it for him."
"You mean others have tried before?" I asked.
"Oh, yes."
He nodded thoughtfully as he sipped his clay mug of tea.
"Yes, indeed. Quite a number of attempts have been made."
"And none successful?" I muttered.
"Evidently not,"
Harold said, and frowned over the rim of his cup at me.
"But they had not slayed the swamp witch in the dungeons either."
"Are they connected, then?" I asked, and hoped for any good news that would help me figure out the mess I'd found myself in. "The swamp witch and the vampires?"
"Only in location,"
the wrinkled old man said with a shrug of one bony shoulder.
"No one knows the exact location of the dungeons in the hills aside from you, it would seem."
"I'm guessing that means the entrance to the dungeon below your cabin hadn't been found for quite some time,"
Amber commented thoughtfully.
"That's interesting."
"I got lucky, I guess." I laughed awkwardly and tried to avoid the quartermaster's inquisitive stare. "So, the Baron mentioned you have a reward for me?"
"Ah, yes."
The old man in the gray robes quickly set his teacup down with a resounding clatter and then hurried over to the center of the cellar room. I sent a silent prayer up to whatever gods resided above this world and breathed a sigh of relief when Harold left the humanoid corpse beneath the sheet on the lab table, and instead he ducked behind to one of the shelves that held various different potions. He scooped up a couple into his wrinkly little hands and then hurried back over to me.
That's not gold,"
I said as I stared at the vials in his hands.
"You're right,"
the old man chuckled.
"These are worth far more than gold."
"Maybe in this world, but if they were magic, they would be worthless back on Earth. But, on the other hand, if they were magic, maybe they could help me in my quest to kill monsters and get more gold." "So, what are these?" I asked.
"Well, I'll have to test them on you before I give you the full vials,"
Harold explained matter-of-factly as he let the glass bottles clatter onto the table's surface behind his half-drunk mug of tea.
"I'm not wasting good potions on someone impervious to their effects."
"Effects?" I asked.
"You'll see."
Harold waved a hand dismissively and plucked the first vial out of the bunch.
"This one."
"What will it do?" I asked as I extended my left hand.
"Wait,"
Harold suddenly said and grabbed my wrist.
"What is this marking?"
"My skill tree?" I chuckled nervously as the old man peered eagerly at my skin. If I squinted and pretended I'd never played a video game in my life before, the back of my hand could have been mistaken for any generic hand tattoo. But on closer inspection, it had clear markings to indicate a jagged sort of health bar, along with a skill tree that represented strength, luck, and a number of other benefits I could acquire in this world.
"Skill tree,"
Harold the quartermaster murmured in an awestruck voice as he rubbed a thumb over the marking on top of my hand.
"Hmm, I wonder."
He suddenly dropped my arm and scurried off toward a towering bookshelf behind his tea-making contraption. And then he began to yank books out as he muttered under his breath to himself.
"Harold?"
I asked tentatively, but he didn't look back.
"The prophecy!"
he yelled in a voice so loud it made me jump.
"Yeah, the Baron mentioned something about..."
The gray-haired quartermaster shushed me impatiently with a flap of his spare hand and hurried back over to me holding a massive grimoire bound in old faded leather that had become soft and supple after years of use. He hauled the old tome onto the workbench, flipped it open with his eyes beady and eager, and then suddenly slammed a wrinkled old finger down on the thick parchment.
"Ha!"
he exclaimed again.
I knew it.
I couldn't make out whatever was actually written on the page, because the handwriting was maybe worse than any doctor's I'd ever seen. But the inky sketch between the words gave me enough indication as to what Harold was so jazzed about. Drawn in messy black ink, and even messier black charcoal, was an almost exact replica of the tattoo on the back of my left hand. Whoa. I breathed and looked up at the old quartermaster. What does this mean?
It means the soothsayer wasn't full of pig shit.
Harold chuckled maniacally.
It was foretold in the prophecy that someone would rid Haddon of monsters for good, and they would have this marking on their hand.
Damn, I whistled.
Have you always had this?
Harold demanded excitedly. I didn't want to explain how the tattoo disappeared the moment I stepped back through to my own world, but it had appeared the moment I'd stepped through the portal into the dungeon. Yes, I've always had it. In this world, at least.
I've made so many notes on this, I can't believe I'm seeing it with my own two eyes.
Harold giggled like an excitable schoolgirl and even clapped his hands together.
It's almost identical, though I see here yours is, well, it's already started to fill in.
So there's more to it? I asked curiously.
Oh, yes.
Harold nodded.
It's incomplete, but here, look. I've notated where it is likely to change. I just need the relevant ingredients to brew the relevant potions, and I can perhaps make the additions permanent if we focus on the juxtaposition of magic and skill and tip the scales towards a transmutation of sort.
Harold trailed off, lost in thought, and then eventually snapped out of his reverie to fix me with a wide smile.
Well, Sir Miller.
He grinned enough to show me the disconcerting gaps in his teeth.
Let's get to work, shall we?
Sounds good to me. I chuckled at the old man's excitement. But how so?
Why don't you see how so for yourself, hm?
Harold the quartermaster scooped up the potion vial that he'd originally pulled from his stock and held it out to me, suddenly all business.
One drop on the tip of your tongue ought to do it.
The vial had a squeeze stopper in the lid, so I pinched some liquid up into the glass tube and then dangled it above my tongue. You sure this is safe? I asked as I lowered my hand.
Quite so.
Harold nodded encouragingly.
I test them on myself as well as, test subjects.
He motioned behind him to the body beneath the sheet on the lab table, took one look at me, and then let out a squeal of laughter.
I've never met a more distrustful hero.
Harold chuckled and then waved his hands.
It's perfectly safe, Sir Miller. Oh, it bodes well. How cautious you are. You may still impress me yet.
I frowned at him, but I brought the stopper back up to my tongue. Then I took a deep breath and squeezed once, so one globule of thick black liquid inside fell into my mouth. The moment the tasteless liquid dissolved against my tongue, a strong rush of power surged through every muscle and tendon in my body. I let out a grunt as my chest and arms flexed, and then I gasped as the back of my hand grew hotter and hotter. I stared at my tattoo in surprise as the tattoo itself changed to represent the added physicality the potion had given me.
Half a foot in height, I'd say.
Harold murmured as he studied me with his arms crossed over his skinny chest.
Obvious muscle enhancement as well as knowledge of how to use it. I'd hope, anyway.
It's made me stronger? I asked as I eagerly flexed my biceps.
I'd say.
Harold chuckled.
Though I'd like to test out your natural aptitude. Ever heard the adage, all broad, no brains?
Fair point, I said. But what can I test it on?
There's some dummies I've cobbled together in the next chamber.
The quartermaster explained and bustled off through his laboratory to a space behind the curved shelving.
Come, follow me, and be sure to bring that other vial with you there on the table.
I scooped up the second potion and quickly hurried after the old man, who could move with surprising speed considering how frail he looked. He shoved another heavy wooden door out of his way and led me into an antechamber that had nothing but straw covering the cold stone floor, and a mini army of stuffed potato sack dummies hoisted up onto thick wooden stakes.
Go ahead.
Harold motioned to the dummies and crossed his arms over his chest again as he studied me.
Do your worst.
Against dummies? I snickered. I could have done this before your potion, quartermaster.
I know.
He said in a tone that sounded like an exasperated parent placating a toddler into eating their vegetables.
But humor me.
You're the boss. I shrugged with another chuckle, and I walked over to the nearest straw dummy. "Okay, buddy, let's dance." I clenched my fists, steadied my feet on the straw-covered stone, and punched the dummy clean in the head. Before the potion, I would have been confident in my ability to at least make the thing wobble, but after that little blob of black liquid had hit my tongue and enhanced my in-world strength, the entire damn thing bodily flew into the stone wall and smashed into pieces. I turned to the quartermaster with a dumbfounded expression, and he chuckled heartily as he shrugged.
"I told you,"
he said between laughs.
"Enhanced."
"Yeah, I'll say," I whistled.
"Now, that one drop is probably already starting to wear off, so when you know you're close to getting into a fight, especially with vampires, you drink the entire thing, okay?"
Harold told me as he held the vial full of black enhancement potion out for me to take. "Yes, sir," I nodded sincerely. "The whole thing."
"Now, this one."
Harold held up a second vial of potion, and I noticed the insides were completely different from the first. It swirled and shimmered like a haze on tarmac during a blisteringly hot day, and it was almost completely colorless. It had the same viscosity and appearances as water, just with an otherworldly glimmer to it that caught the light with each ebb and whirl.
"Just a drop to test,"
Harold warned before he handed it over.
"I think you'll like this one even more."
"What does it do?" I asked eagerly.
"It allows you to transport from one place to another without actually physically moving,"
Harold explained.
"So, if you're standing here, on this side of the room, as long as you have a clear line of sight, you can move yourself from here to there in a literal blink of an eye."
"How do I get it to work?" I wondered out loud as I fixed my eyes on a point behind the straw-stuffed dummies.
"It's all in the mind. You tell yourself that's where you're going to go, and poof! There you end up."
"Well, let's take it out for a test drive," I muttered to myself as I squeezed the rubber stopper and collected some of the watery potion in the glass tube. "If I disappear completely, you better find me."
"I promise,"
the old quartermaster snickered.
"Now just do it."
I let a single drop of shimmering potion land on the tip of my outstretched tongue, and I felt a sudden fizz go through my body, like an elongated, especially soft electric shock. "Whoa," I murmured as the fizz traveled down my back and petered out at the base of my spine, and I bodily shivered. "That's a weird feeling."
"Yes,"
Harold said simply, and I could tell he was finding this all very funny.
"Now let's try it out. Envision where you want to go. See it in your mind's eye."
"This is weird. I can almost feel it too,"
Amber giggled in my head.
"It's like it's tickling me."
I could think of 1,001 things to say back to her comment, but I kept my mouth shut since I was still with Harold the quartermaster, and instead bit down on my flirtation and stared at the opposing corner of the sparring room.
"In the blink of an eye,"
Harold muttered softly.
"Tell your body it's where you want to go."
I focused intently on the corner of the room, studied the exact way the straw had fallen and the shadows and flashes of light that came from the wax candles, and blinked. It felt like time was both sped up and slow motion all at once. And by the time my eyes had opened again, I was on the far side of the room with Harold grinning at me from the doorway.
"Very well done, Sir Miller."
Harold clapped twice and then wrung his bony hands together.
"You're a natural."
"Thank you for your help, Harold," I told him with a grin, and he clapped me on the back while we made our way back out to the main room of his laboratory.
"My pleasure, of course,"
the quartermaster shrugged.
"Be sure to tell the Baron for me."
"You can count on it," I said sincerely and shook his hand. "Thank you again."
"Go, go."
The old quartermaster waved his hands and pushed me lightly toward the door.
"You'll need your rest. I have faith you'll be the one to finally bring that damned book back."
I thanked him again and then hustled my way out of the Baron's castle and back toward the woods on the hills. I made sure to follow the horn-blowing messenger's path, and it didn't take me much time at all to reach my cabin. I made a mental note to try at some point to spruce the place up a little, in case there ever was a point I did actually have to sleep in the other world. I just hoped that, since the rest of this dimension felt like a dungeon-crawling fantasy game, I could request an upgrade to my home, and it would be magically completed by some little unseen elves by the time I waltzed back through the portal. I didn't really feel like bodily lugging a huge wooden bed frame up the hill and through the forest from Haddon's local furniture store. When I'd finally ensured the shutters were closed over the dungeon entrance, and I'd stashed the glass vials of potion Harold the Quartermaster had supplied me with inside the wardrobe itself, I quickly stepped through the golden portal and back into my Brooklyn College dorm room. Amber slid off my back with a yawn, and I realized the sun was still just below the horizon.
"At least we can grab another couple hours of sleep," I muttered as I pulled my shirt off over my head.
And thank the gods.
Amber groaned as she flung herself back down onto my bed.
I'm exhausted.
Me too,
I admitted, and then turned to her with a smile as she draped an arm over my bare chest and curled up into the crook of my shoulder.
Oh, I feel like we're both at fault for that.
I made sure to set an alarm on my phone, in case we accidentally passed the fuck out for 12 hours and missed the Baron's deadline, and then I finally let my eyes slide closed as sleep came for me. I fell into such a deep state of unconsciousness that I actually felt pretty well rested by the time the annoying chirp of my cell phone woke Amber and I later that morning. I was already starting to wonder how much longer I needed to keep going to school. Yeah, I loved music, but I figured I had over $250,000 in gold nuggets, so I should focus on buying some modern guns, armor, and a place where I could move the wardrobe to. Then I could just go to this fantasy world as a job. Damn, that idea was awesome. I'd been so busy adventuring with Amber as my weapon that I hadn't spent time going to a gun store. After doing some research, I also knew it would take 30 days to actually get whatever weapon I wanted, and I would only be able to buy low-capacity magazines for each gun. Ew. I had lunch with Aaron and Honey, though I made sure to buy a pretzel and some chicken wings for Amber, since I had the afternoon completely free.
Why don't you come into the city with us?
Honey pouted and whacked me square in the shoulder. Ow. I pouted back, and then laughed as I tapped her back with the toe of my sneaker. And because Amber still feels kind of crappy from when she sort of fainted, so I'm just going to hang with her and try to make her feel better.
We can't hate him for that,
Aaron told Honey in a serious tone, and he grinned knowingly at me.
Amber is smoking fucking hot.
There's that too, I chuckled, and then I waved my two friends off. See you guys later. I trudged my way back to my dorm room, where Amber immediately pulled me into a long kiss.
I missed you,
she murmured against my mouth. I missed you too, I replied with a smile. I brought you food, though.
Oh!
She immediately broke away from our kiss and made grabby hands at the folded box I carried. I handed it to her with a chuckle, and then sat on my desk chair as I watched her eat.
What?
She asked with a joking frown on her face, and she licked at a stray droplet of sauce from the corner of her mouth. Nothing. I shook my head and smiled across the room at her. You're just cute when you're hungry.
I'm always hungry.
Amber flushed a light shade of pink as she took another bite of pretzel. That means you're always cute, though, I reasoned with her.
It's just because I'd been trapped in my bow form for so long, I'd forgotten how wonderful it was to actually eat.
Amber explained as she played with the end of a pretzel stick.
It's hard to explain.
I get it, I said softly. It must have felt like you were starving.
Yeah. That's exactly how it felt. I was starving, I was dehydrated, I was constantly exhausted.
Amber shook her head, popped the last bit of pretzel into her mouth, and grinned up at me.
But you found me, and now you feed me these weird foods that are actually quite wonderful.
Yeah, New York pretzels have that effect on people. I laughed. So, are you ready to come and fight some vampires with me?
Yes, I am.
Amber giggled and jumped up from where she'd been sitting cross-legged on my bed.
But I want you to kiss me first.
Like a goodbye kiss? I asked, and I immediately scooped her into my arms the moment she was within touching distance. She squealed in surprise, and the sound petered out when she leaned her body up against mine and wrapped her arms around my shoulders.
Yes.
She nodded with a small smile.
Like a goodbye kiss?
Okay. I agreed as I grinned down at her. A goodbye kiss. I pulled her even closer to me so that her torsos had little to no space between them. And then I leaned down to press my mouth against hers. Amber instantly melted into me, and she opened her plump lips so my tongue could wind itself around hers as I held her there. I could have stayed there in that exact same spot, kissing my otherworldly warrior woman in the middle of my college dorm room. But instead, I reluctantly pulled away from the sweetness of her mouth with a soft sigh.
I know.
Amber nodded with another breathless smile as she pushed my hair out of my face and held her hand against my cheek.
We just gotta go fight some vampires and then we can come back. No big deal.
No big deal. I nodded in agreement and chuckled as I took her hand and led her over to my closet. With my other hand, I pulled the double doors open, and we were once again greeted by the supernatural sheen of the portal in the back wall of my ancient-looking closet. If you weren't standing here holding my hand right now, I said as I smiled down at Amber and squeezed her fingers between mine, I wouldn't believe this was real.
The same can be said for me.
Amber agreed with a giggle.
Your world is so different to mine.
I'll show you more of it soon, I promise. I told her, let's go get this stupid book for the stupid Baron and then maybe we'll get a chance to relax.
Deal.
Amber said with a firm nod.
Let's go.
We stepped through the swirling oval of molten gold, and the portal yanked us through by an invisible hook to the stomach. The familiar chill of the underground dungeon beneath my forest cabin materialized around me, and I instinctively reached up to my chest to feel Amber's bowstring laid out across my pectoral muscles.
I'm here,
Amber assured me with a giggle.
As always.
Aren't I lucky? I smiled in reply, but then I did a double take as I went to lower my hand and saw the change in my tattoo markings. My tattoo was still present on the back of my hand where it showed my skill tree, as well as Amber's bow ability, but the markings had morphed and crept further up onto my wrist. What does that look like to you? I asked Amber as I peered at my hand.
Like a compass?
Amber offered in a curious voice.
Maybe?
It certainly looked like a compass, because the marking on the back of my wrist had four points and what looked like an arrowhead in the center.
Turn around,
Amber suddenly suggested.
See if the arrowhead follows you.
I did as Amber said and laughed out loud when I saw she was right. The arrowhead in the center of the wrist marking moved with me, and I realized my tattoo now offered a quest compass. That's fucking cool, I said with another chuckle as I kept turning to watch the point move. I think it's directing me further into the dungeon, though.
The quartermaster did say the swamp witch and the vampires were connected by location only,
Amber reminded me.
So maybe the vampires are in this dungeon somewhere.
Only one way to find out. I shrugged and held my arm up as if I was looking at the time on a wristwatch, but groaned when I saw the needle. It's telling me to go through the cave-in.
Oh, I wish I could help you clear it.
Amber sighed.
It's not telling you any other way?
Nope. Seems pretty damn adamant, I said as I inspected the point of the compass on my tattoo, and then I blinked as I remembered what I'd stashed in the closet. I have an idea.
Always fun when that happens.
Amber giggled inside my mind, and then I heard a metaphorical intake of breath when she realized what my plan was.
Oh, the potions!
Yep. I grinned as I scooped up the vial of viscous black liquid that had given me super strength. I reckon I can make light work of these rocks with this.
Good thinking,
Amber said eagerly.
You'll only need a couple drops, right?
Yeah, I want to keep as much of this goop as possible, I said as I held the vial up to the light and watched it swirl like something out of a horror movie. Okay, here goes nothing. I released the stopper and squeezed some liquid up into the glass tube before I held it over my tongue and let three drops fall. I swallowed heavily and waited for it to kick in. Moments later, I felt the same power surge travel through my body as the potion's effects began, and my body morphed and changed as the magic did its job. I gasped as the tattoo on the back of my hand fizzed and burned slightly while it altered to accommodate my new powers, and I let out the breath I held as my muscles expanded. God damn, that beats any pre-workout I've ever had! I laughed as I placed the vials on the shelf in the closet, flexed my arms, and let the adrenaline surge through my veins. Right, let's clear this cave-in. The potion strength boon made light work of the closed-off tunnel, and though I started by heaving the rocks away, I ended up just trying my luck and punching straight through the stone. I took a deep breath, brought my fist up, and punched the rock, which crumbled into dust around my fist.
Did you really just do that?
Amber asked as I let out an elated gasp. Apparently. I chuckled loudly and brought my arm out of the pile of rocks.
Are you gonna punch your way through this caved-in tunnel?
Amber giggled in disbelief. Watch me. I grinned smugly and brought both of my fists up to my face, like a boxer in a Las Vegas ring. The quicker I punched, the faster the rock disintegrated into pebbles and dust at my feet, as my heightened strength ability aided me in my task. Within only 5 minutes, the chamber in which the closet portal stood now had a vast entrance into the rest of the sprawling hillside dungeon, which meant I didn't have to go snooping in the forest above to find another way in again.
Impressive,
Amber praised, and I felt the sting of the tattoo dissipate as my powers waned again. I wish I could take that potion into my world, I laughed as I left the chamber in which the portal in the closet resided, and instead of climbing the stone staircase to the forest outside, I pushed further into the cold stone dungeon itself by the light of the strange magical torches that lined the walls every 15 or so feet. It was eerily quiet, as it always was, and I was thankful for the fact the arrowhead on my wrist guided me through the stone walls. I spotted another tight stone staircase after about 15 minutes of exploring, and figured that was the same entrance I'd found when we'd gone on the hunt for the swamp, and I expected the tunnels to be exactly the same as when I'd last explored, but I didn't recognize the route I was now taking. I think the dungeon's changed, I commented in an instinctively low voice, though my words still echoed against the stone around me.
It's transformed, do you think?
Amber asked thoughtfully.
Maybe this place holds more magic than just the portal in the closet?
You might be right, I agreed as I pushed further through the maze of stone passageways. It's like this place knows where it wants to put me.
You spoke too soon?
Amber chuckled when I suddenly stopped in my tracks. I'd come into a small antechamber that split off into three identical stone corridors. Shit, I sighed. Well, now more than ever, this new tattoo had better steer me true.
It will,
Amber assured me, though I could tell her confidence was somewhat faked. We don't really have another choice, I said grimly. It's aiming to the left.
As long as we remember the route,
Amber said in my mind as I took the left passage.
Just like last time?
I just nodded and continued on. The stone corridor stretched on endlessly, and there was nothing around me except claustrophobic stone and the sound of my lone footsteps. I see something, I suddenly said and picked up the pace. Just ahead.
I see it too,
Amber replied.
Another staircase?
That's what it looks like, I grinned. I love this new compass.
I told you it'd work,
Amber replied happily. The dungeon opened up into another small chamber, which would have been a total dead end if it hadn't been for the tight stone staircase that spiraled upward. Never thought I'd say this, but I hope the staircase brings us out into the vampire den. I chuckled darkly as I approached the entryway to the chamber, and then suddenly all hints of laughter left my throat, like the flame of a candle being snuffed out. Halfway up the spiraling staircase was a hunched-over figure, as gray as the dungeon itself, and almost camouflaged against the stone, with its back to me.